The fulfillment we find in creatures belong to the reality of the created beings, a reality that is from God and belongs to God and reflects God. The anguish we find in them belongs to the disorder of a desire which looks for greater reality in the object of a desire than is actually there, a greater fulfillment than any created thing is capable of giving. Instead of worshipping God through His creation, we are always trying to worship ourselves by means of creature.
Good morning, pilgrims and travelers on a funny path of life. Correction, today is March the 1st. Anyway, I should have known because Duolingo has a... Every month, they do a kind of a challenge deal. and, of course, there was no notification yesterday. But, hey, new month started, you know, kind of to cheer you up. Para animarte. Anyway, so today is the first. And I also rescinded or postponed my invitation because the forecast stuff is really all over the place. So I guess... whatever it is, you know, I need to just wait. Because it showed like 17 or 18 degrees, you know, next Saturday. So it was like perfect for, you know, for the lunch. But then it's like 12 degrees now. So I'm like, well, this is not going to be fun. And I wanted to be outside. So I'll just send a message basically saying, hey, I'll let you know, but it's not going to happen now. We'll have to wait for the right condition. So... you know, interesting that it's going to drop again. So, Eduardo, I guess, might have something there. There was so confident that, yeah, it just feels like winter is over. Again, that it was a completely uneducated guess, but it was a completely off uneducated guess. Anyway. I mean, it is a beautiful day, but it is, you can definitely feel cooler today. So it's going to be cooler than yesterday. And culminating by tomorrow or Sunday, I forgot. We're going to go back down to about 10 degrees. And then it will just start to shoot up. Next week will be very nice. And it looks like by the weekend, it's going to drop again. So I guess whatever roller coaster, Montaña Rusa. Russian mountain is what they call the roller coaster in Spanish, yeah? Which is the same in French, actually, interestingly enough. So maybe those things were first displayed from Russia. Maybe they were kind of like traveling, whatever you call those people, you know, who run those fairs and drive all over the place, try to make a living. Anyway. Yeah, Russian mountains. Anyway, roller coaster. So, beautiful day. Oh, I'll start with something simple. Yesterday I watched The Underrated. I was actually wondering about this guy. And you're going to start to wonder, dude, for somebody who says you don't care about sports, you seem to know about quite a few of those people. Well, you know, some are quite media charismatic, you know. They kind of make it. So most of the guys that actually I'm watching documentary on, I have never watched a single games and have no interest in watching any of them. You know, whether soccer, football, baseball, well, actually baseball. I have never watched any and have no interest because it's kind of like golf, you know. You can do all the documentaries on Tiger Woods. I have no interest. I mean, I know the name, you know, like Barry Bond, you know, Sammy Sosa. I mean, I know some names because they were kind of, you know, out in ether, in a societal ether when I was in the U.S. But like Babe Ruth, you know, from in the 30s, I think, with the Yankee, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I have no interest in that. That sport at all, like golf, baseball, like cricket, you know, you couldn't tell me for that stuff. But anyway, so I found this thing on Stephen Carey. And he's adorable, this cute little thing, when he was young. It is a cool story, you know. Definitely the title is apt for that documentary. I mean, I knew how he was killing it. So, at least in the U.S., I'm sure in the U.K. it's the same, but in the U.S. they call it the paint. So there's a zone near the basket called the paint, and it's kind of like a, kind of almost like an oblong semicircle, you know, where there's a foul line, and then if you're outside of that kind of a U-shape line, and you make a shot, instead of scoring 2 points, you score three. So they call three-pointers. And basically, he broke the history record ever. He's one of the most three-pointers in the history of the NBA. And he's not done. I mean, I'm not sure how old the guy is, but I think he still has a little bit left. Anyway, so kind of like LeBron James, I think, with the most points. I think I might watch about LeBron James, but I have to say it's kind of a brute, kind of out, a physical look. But to me, you know, when I think of like big guy, big name, like when I think of Michael Jordan, I don't know, I just find him beautiful when I saw him play. You know, it was just something so charismatic. And LeBron James is not, apparently he's an amazing player, obviously, you know. He's still killing it, but anyway. So I watched that, I ended up watching the whole thing. Family kind of walked in, actually. I wasn't alone in the library, which I mostly am. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah, let me just watch the whole thing. You know, I did a walk around, went to the Dia to check lipstick, went to Coviran, went to Massimas, so to the three small grocery stores we have in town. And they're very close to each other, actually. And nobody had any. And so I was like, dang it. Am I going to have to go to Mercadona tomorrow, you know, to get it? Hey, okay, girl. Anyway. And so I ended up to the library after, of course, seeing Chupa Chup, which I'll be seeing her in a minute since it's Friday and it's market day. And so, yeah, so I watched. The whole thing was beautiful to see. I'm not sure what kind of a building that is, right by the library. And then you could see the sunset getting painted on it. So, you know, the changing of light from yellow to orange. Just, it was very, very pretty. At one point, I kind of was like thinking of changing seating, you know, arrangement. But I'm like, no, enjoy it. Enjoy the projection, you know. Anyway, and by the time I got out, the sunset had already come and gone, but it was still a very nice horizon line, very pretty, western-like, you know, fading. So, and then got some more kanji practice, and then was did a bunch of reading, so I'm more than likely will be done with Bastard of Istanbul tonight. We'll see, but if everything kind of goes on, I have the feeling I'll finish it. So, anyway. So, not too much, but learning a little bit about the, well, almost nothing really, actually, about Armenian history. Just that this, I'd heard that 1915, that kind of genocide when the Turks kind of really systematically, apparently, crushed the Armenians. So, but I don't know about the history, you know, anyway. I don't know enough to have any kind of point of view, but it sounds like horrible things happened. Anyway, oh my goodness, she's already out. You're already out. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? What? Somebody is. What? Ooh, she's like, come on, Anthony, you're going too slow. Oh, that's Adelfo's Oleanders. Adelfo's or Adelfo's? I think it's a Belfast. Somehow in Spanish. I'm not sure, but... Oh, yeah, they put new one. ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? Let's do a little... Oh, you... There we go. Put my finger, she smells, kind of delicate, and then she's like, come on. Ooh. Oh, my goodness, you are all out. You're all in my grill, huh? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Qué pasa? Yes, let me get your neck. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, oh. All right. Yes, yes, yes. I did not forget. There she's sitting. I like when she readjusted sitting, but she went quite quick to a sitting here. Here you go, girl. Mm-hmm, good. Yeah, good looking, geeking. Sit. Okay, yeah. Gilly, licking, 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 licking. Sit. Sit. That's so cute that she's waiting for the finger to come down. Because she can see that there it is. But there's a finger. As long as a finger means no. All right, that means yes. You're smart. There's a big one. No. Man, doing finger. No. Let's see if she can resist. Okay. I hit it so close. She did good. You resisted. You waited. You waited. You so good. Was you so good. All right, girl. Love you. Love you, girl. All right, see you later. See you later, Gator. Anyway, though I was a little tired yesterday, it still was, I didn't fall asleep quite as soon as typical. So I was kind of in there, you know. But I just stayed there, and eventually, interesting, interesting to know when that happens, you know. When you lose consciousness, I guess, because a part of me talking is the one that's conscious, so when that goes away, then I'm gone. At least that part of me. Anyway, I put the snooze on this morning, so, but of course, within 1-2 minutes, I thought it was 2 minutes, I turned the snooze off and then I got up. Almost never does it happen now when I make it to, what is it, 5 or 8 minutes, I forgot on the snooze. But anyway, so routine went well. Did a beautiful loaf of bread this morning already. So more than likely we'll be doing oatmeal later because I have one for tomorrow, but I might do that. Though I don't really have, well, doesn't matter because tomorrow is supposed to be the long walk. So today's a short, you know, is a weight day. And is she running with the dog? Like a little dog. I think she is. It's tricky. Yeah, there's a little dog running with her. Very cute. It's kind of cute, you know, when you see people, you know. Looks like she's off the leash. Looks like she might have the leash around the neck. Regardless. I'm taking... kind of... sure. That's more... to be going at that pace anyway. Wow, it's definitely chilly today. Anyway, it's not like it's a surprise anyway. So we shall see, huh? So now we are in March. Now the month of March is here. So this morning I was listening to Bill Burr and I realized, hey, I may be getting some material out of you. Because there's a big theme in Bill Burr, so conspiracy theory, you know, he's kind of big into that. And then he was talking about going to the stores, returning things, and people asking about their information. kind of ranting about what that's about. And so there's this idea of freedom, of independence, of being watched, you know, of being data collectors that bother him. There, I don't know, to me, it made me think of something, because I personally don't care. You know, like I said, it's really, to me, it's a non-issue. It's like they're going to do what they're going to do, you know. I feel like if you go into a store, you go into that store, you know. It's, well, the right that you have is you're going to be, at least for me, what's important is to know what I'm going to pay for, you know, to know in terms of guarantee, like, is a company willing to back up their product, or are you on your own, or, you know, basic stuff. But beyond that, you know, it's not that important to me. And to each his own, you know, nothing wrong with actually his point of view. But again, this idea of freedom, of privacy, and I have a feeling anyway, as we're getting more and more of us, that this idea of privacy is going to more and more, or the idea of it, and because I don't really believe in it, of freedom and liberty and all that beautiful lemonade, it's just not mine, but that it's going to become unpractical, right? Unsustainable, basically. But I'm like, you know, if a company wants to, I guess on kind of like on a technical point, right? If the company wants to know what you habit, what you like, you know, what's your lifestyle, if they want to create, you know, templates, and then with AI trying to finding out where this person, you know, that kind of product will benefit. So, you know, for advertising to become more efficient, you know, I don't really have a problem with that. You know, what can be challenging is when this idea of inception, you know, where they try or where, and I think it's kind of like propaganda, right? It's try to manipulate you into thinking that it is something that you may want and it has nothing to do about, hey, we think you might be interested in that, but it's like you want that, you know, which is different. It's a little more aggressive the other way, but it seems to also be part of the matrix in which we are. And in a way, I have no problem. You could do all that you want. It's not going to make me get something that I don't want. You know, it's like sometimes you can definitely feel the pressure where it's hard to say no or to be assertive or confrontational. So sometimes that part, you know, that kind of social engineering where it's meant to make you feel guilty. Case in point, oh my goodness, that was years ago. I got this thing in the mail saying, hey, if you come and take a tour of our subdivision, whatever it was, we'll give you, I think it was like a 19-inch TV or 20-something, I forgot, free. And I'm like, I'll go. I'll take a tour. I may learn something. I may meet some people. No big deal. And I get a TV out of it. So I go there. I think it was kind of between COVID and Austin. So near Lake, if I'm not mistaken. So basically, you go there. They give you the tour. And at the end, they kind of saying goodbye. I'm like, hey, what about the TV? It's like, oh, you go right through that door and then they'll give it to you. And so I go there and it became kind of like a hassle to get the TV. You know, and a part of me kind of felt shame, you know, or kind of like a beggar. And I was like, fuck it. And I'm like, I raised my voice and I'm like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. I did my part of the deal. Now where's my TV? And eventually they gave me one. But it was so interesting, the hassle. You know, and after that, that was it for me. I didn't do any more, you know. I mean, unless something was offered that was really worth it. And then I would have gone through the rigmarole. But yeah, it just never happened. It was a bull after that, you know, just stuff. But it was like, wow, how interesting, you know, how they can just human beings. Ingenuity, you know, opportunistic, all that stuff. How interesting. But I'm like, you know, okay, you learn kind of like with a credit card. I was considered a deadbeat if I'm not mistaken, it's a term used by the credit card industry, which is somebody that you actually lose money to. So in my case, because I was so disciplined, I never let anything, any payment lapsed. You know, all the bill were always paid because I never use a credit card as credit. I use them as debit card. So I always use them for the money that I had. So instead of me using my debit card, I would use my credit card. And basically at the end of the month, I would have to pay. That's the only thing that you have to, you know, well, you can't brain fart. You have to pay it on time. And I would always have it done 1 to 2 days before. I forgot, or maybe a week before, whatever the case may be. Or whenever they send you the bill, because you have a week or so, if I'm not mistaken, 1 or 2 weeks to pay it once they send it to you. And basically, I always look for credit card with those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% of cash back. You know, not the one with merchandise, like you can buy shit with the stuff you earn, but actually cash. And, you know, some will have a fee, a yearly fee. And then you just start to add it up and say, okay, if I'm paying, like there was an American Express, I paid $75 a year. But I was like, yeah, but look, the percentage is a little higher, which means I'm going to generate more income. So even though it is costing me $75 upfront, it's more like an investment because on a return on investment, I will actually get more back than from a credit card with a regular cash back with no fee. And then, of course, some were offering you more on one thing or another, so you have to play, but for whatever reason, I was okay with that. I was able to keep up. And one time, I forgot exactly. I think it was Discoverer, or I'm not sure. And I got had. They just had me on something. And I was like, I was pissed at first, and I was like, okay, all right, this one is on you. I love this one. And of course, you know, it's like, okay, and then learn from that. And, you know, kind of like as an analogy to life, I guess, you know, it's like, well, you win some, you lose some. It's not about winning always. And if anything, I was listening to Irene Villa, this woman that was 12 years old in 91 when the ETA, which is the Basque Country terrorist organization looking for independence, blew up a car, her mother's car that was driving her to school. And she lost her legs, and she became a psychologist. Anyway, very interesting, but she was talking about, she had very nice images where she would describe it, and she talked about, you know, in life, you know, those big stumbling blocks, the biggest stumbling block you have to overcome, then the stronger your castle becomes, you know, that you're going to build it with. And I was like, I like that. That's very poetic. So adversity, you know, through adversity, you refine, you sharpen, you know, things. And so after that, I was like, okay, now it's a curveball that I wasn't aware of. And after that, I always made sure, you know, that it was clear that that curveball wasn't part of that. So, you know, but in the end, I still made, you know, thousands of dollars. In me with my humble, my goodness, can you imagine if I was like, if I had a business or if I was like, you know, upper middle class or with more means, you know, I would have generated even more, you know, return. So it's kind of cool. But, you know, the point is like the thing about it not to happen or that it's wrong. I don't know, this kind of mentality of, it's unjust. And I guess on some level, I have a feeling we all do that. You know, there's this kind of bias where we kind of feel like a victim. You feel powerless, and it makes you feel angry. You know, and then that makes you want to control, as if to believe that controlling would, you know, bring more peace and would make you more happy and more secure. And for me personally, I actually believe that the less of it there is, then the more you actually, the more you are in peace, and then the more you have to surrender and trust. And then it becomes a complete different lens in terms of what determines success, you know, what becomes goal. You know, for me, for sure, more and more, it's the idea of, it's challenging, of course, if not almost impossible, but to relinquish control, to relinquish the mentality that it is that valuable. I don't think you need no control, but I think for most of us, There's too much control. Hold on a second. I'm going to put my hands in my pockets. It is chilly. My hands are cold. And the package is a full weight. So normally I like to put a little weight on, transfer that load onto the hip. But I'm not working for 8 hours today, so that's fine. Anyway, so it's kind of interesting, you know, hearing that. And I can appreciate what he's saying. But for me, what's even more important than all of that is what's the quality of your being as you're expressing all of that, you know? That to me is even more important. You can talk about, you know, politics and the way the state of affairs, but what's the state of your being as you're going through those motions, as you're thinking the thoughts? And of course, in the case of Bill Burr, it's kind of a rhetorical question because he has a short fuse and of course he acknowledges it. But yeah, it just made me think of that. It's kind of interesting. And I know there's definitely that camp of people who are cynical, distrustful, do not trust the institution, or maybe have unrealistic expectation about the integrity of the institution. And, you know, I have no beef with some of their arguments, you know, in terms of the way they function, you know, that there is corruption. But I think corruption is just part of it. Now, the question is functional corruption or dysfunctional corruption, you know? Or was it Dante who said, you know, power corrupt and absolute power corrupt absolutely? So, you know, where do you cross that line? Because it seems to be likely that the people who are power-driven are going to be crossing that line, more than likely, or will not realize, oh, it won't matter, or they won't be able to control themselves, you know, like me, in regard to things in my life, where so far I am not able to, you know, I know better, but I'm not able to. So knowledge is only one step, one ingredient in that recipe. And don't, unless other things square up, you know, you have the experiences and, yeah, it only matters so much. It's only one stepping stone. It's definitely not the biggest stepping block to get there. Anyway, so, oh, yeah, because yesterday I sent, no shame on me, of course no shame on me. But, you know, because I sent them a message on WhatsApp, well, then WhatsApp opened and there was a thing from Pilar. So I'm thinking, it was something about a guy talking about, you know, wilderness to dry your shoes, taking rocks and making, anyway, whatever the case. But I'm wondering if that might not have been from John, who is somebody she knew, somebody she met also kind of like me on Tinder. And so I knew about him, you know, I'd seen picture of him and she like him apparently was a sweet guy for work in New Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. His family is from the northeast, New England. But anyway, but there was a thing and I kind of clicked on it and then I waited like, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds and then canceled out. But that was it. It was kind of a little thing about, I guess she thought of me, maybe because of me doing the Camino, doing all that walking. So I turned that off. So we'll see about the down lunch. Yeah, this weather is definitely not conducive to what I want to do yet. So we'll wait. We'll wait. Oh, and so because of ChapStick, I couldn't find any of the stores. So I was like, dang it. Sorry, that's a weird segue, but I realized I didn't finish my anecdote. I was like, dang, I'm going to have to go to Mercadona tomorrow. And I was like, you know, I'm going to be doing my weight bearing today. I don't want to go and do after the weight bearing to do a 2.5 hour walk after that to go through Torre del Rimino just to get that. So I was like, well, why not? I'll just take the car and I'll drive. So, you know, a place where it looked funny, obviously it didn't look well, but a place, one of the nightstands, you know, on the left side of the bed, I sleep on the right side. So I pretty much never go to the left unless I'm sweeping and mopping. And I'm like, well, let me just check one more time here. And then if, you know, nothing there, then tomorrow I'll just drive. You know, I didn't like the idea of just taking the car for that. And also I didn't like the idea of, well, I'm not going to be buying, justifying buying more stuff because I'm driving there and therefore making the good use of it. I'm like, no, nothing wrong in just going to get the chapstick, because I could feel my lips were really getting dried. And that wind here, the cold wind, you know, just kind of reinforce that. So basically, I find two. One, it's a funny, it's like an oval looking one, so it's not a typical chapstick. But the other one, it was basically almost empty, but there's still some, you couldn't find the tube, the tube that you apply to your lips. But there's a little plastic round thing inside of which some remained, so I was able to get some. And I'm using a Q-tip to get the rest. And then I was like, awesome, I don't have to go. So I felt good about not having to take the car. You know, I'll take the car on Tuesday. I still have to think about whether I'm going to go to Decathlon. I'll go to Petroprix, which is more likely the most affordable gas station in the area. There's two or three of them in Hein. So I'll go there to top off the car. And then we'll see if I'm going to... Well, no, I'm not going to take the gas bottle will be toward the end. So I got two of them to take. But I'll wait for that, because that will be in Torre Don Jimeno. There is one right there at the entrance. Obviously, I can carry them. Well, no, I don't know if I could carry one. I don't know how much they weigh. I mean, they're heavy, even empty, you know, those propane butane bottle. But so, yeah, and then I'll have to figure it out. I'll do the gas in Hein, because that'll be the last opportunity for that. And stuff with Torre Don Jimeno, well, that'll be simple. I'll just go one day and that's it. And but yeah, then I'll have to think about, also there is a car, I'm thinking by Pilar in Camas, the town between Valencia and Sevilla, there is this shopping center, and then they have a Decathlon, and they have a Carrefour. So technically, I could just get my Crocs there. There's no need for me to get my Crocs now, basically. Mine, you know, I'm using them inside, they're perfect. You know, I mean, outside they would get torn on the bottom, and I would get a hole pretty quickly, but being pretty protected, they're not going to go anywhere. So I'm fine. And then the tube for the toothbrush. So I feel like, you know, in that place, if I go to Valencia on a Sunday, you know, on a Monday, we can go there, and I can get what I need, and maybe actually even get all of it in Carrefour, because they do have Crocs, or they used to, and more likely cheaper than Decathlon. And I have no qualm about saving a couple of euro here and there, you know, where I can. Anyway, so pretty cool, huh, about the chapstick. That's kind of funny, you know, pretty cool. Anyway, oh, and by the way, it's not, I think I was calling it Higher Up, but it's Higher Ground with Vera Farmiga, and it's not there. It's not on our website. Dang it. I don't know why this one is hard to find like that, but I like it. I liked it. I watched it at least twice, I think. I wouldn't mind watching it again. So, yeah, I'm kind of almost at a loss now. There is a, you know, I've watched Dune again. So we'll see if I come up with something. I think it's going to be enough of the sports stuff for a while. You know, okay, hold on. Let me reset the backpack here as I'm going up. Even though normally when I go up is when I remove the belt, because the heaving, you know, the heaving of the belly from the hard breathing makes it more uncomfortable to feel the pressure of the hip belt. But oh, and actually, sorry, a funny segue again. So I went to Torre del Campo yesterday, so that not walk, and I'm realizing, Padel, I guess it's only one court, eh? It's only one court that they have there, but it's inside, inside court. So anyway, beautiful day. You know, nobody. I saw nobody. Just some trucks, because there was a quarry nearby. I realized that there was, for a while, for a little bit, I was going to be on the road connecting one trail to the next. And but I mean, it's decent. The up that you go through, you kind of go up, it flattens shortly, go up again, flatten shortly, and go up again. And it's at times a little slippery and quite steep. You know, decent, very, very nicely. That's why I like the terrain, actually. I like the canyon a lot better as far as the trail, as far as the beauty of it. But the technicality and the requirement for the up is demanding. It's good. And so you've heard me talk about, you know, sustainability, finding the reason, finding that cadence that is sustainable. And the idea is having, of course, output requirement. So, you know, you have some exertion, you know, that are required. And, but the idea that they would not be a big deal, that they are manageable. And I'm finding out, you know, coming at the end of it, feeling actually quite fresh. So I'm like, I think I am, I'm getting on something. I'm curious to see, you know, on the Camino, and that's going to pay out. Also, the challenge of people, meaning me having trouble, you know, to have people in front of me. And I just can't really slow down. I can slow a little bit, you know. But obviously, if my pace is, I don't really race anymore. I don't sprint, you know, I don't do anything like that. I have a steady pace. I just don't stop, you know, when I go. Mostly on a normal day, you know, on a 4 to 6 hour hike, I don't stop. It's, you know, I eat like a pig. I'm stuffed. I have energy. I'm hydrated. I've slept. I'm rested. I've stretched. Everything is okay. You know, once in a blue moon, I'll have a bad day, you know, I have a bad day. Let's just say I have a day that will require me to stop. You know, I'll just be more frequently tired, or mentally I'll be exhausted, whatever the case may be. But, you know, on any normal day, just, it feels fine. And so most of the people that are going to come in my radar, you know, obviously I'm catching up on them. So I think I'm getting better, is in not kind of like accelerating, like being annoyed that they are there, you know, and then basically there's a normal progression to that, to where eventually I'll catch up and then I'll pass them and kind of a hello, some kind of acknowledgement. Okay, hold on. I need to take it my, I'm not sure I need to take my jacket off yet, but the hat, definitely. But definitely at time, I find myself kind of cranking it up. And that's basically me being reactive, and that's basically me then doing the other guy's race. And that, I have to say, I'm not especially particularly fan of, and I like to definitely keep challenging that. I want to do my race, you know, and obviously I'm not, you know, I'm not doing a race. I'm not intentionally with those people and then trying to accomplish something, you know, but nonetheless, we are in the same place. So it's also a different kind of platform, but it's just a part of me that's, is that the dog that I really like? Oh, I like those mutts. He just is, you know. It makes me think of Mary, Sunflower Mary from Texas. She had this mutt, I forgot, Doozy. I think his name was Doozy. Was it Doozy? I think sounds right. And there's just something like a Big Lebowski about those. Dog, this one is always kind of greening and seems to be always happy. He seems to have a very gentle owner. Anyway, they just find it adorable. I think dogs are growing on me, you know. I think I've mentioned, but I think I could definitely see myself if I was to have become sedentary, you know, to go to a shelter or something and, to adopt, what a weird thing, to get a dog. And obviously I like to walk. So, you know, my lifestyle is definitely would be, I feel compatible, you know, as long as I don't quite see myself doing that in an apartment. I don't know. I don't. I think an apartment, even though the little box stuff is nasty, but I think a cat would be more more feasible, más factible, yeah? Más asequible. No, asequible, no. Asequible means affordable. Well, I guess technically a cat is less expensive than a dog. Well, depends on the size. And of course, depends on the health status of the animal. Anyway. So, anyway, warning, heads up. Oh, I'm not going to, there's nothing from the animal today. So, I just go to the Paco, and I don't actually even need much. I'm going to get onions, banana, I don't need apple. I don't, maybe I'll get a couple of oranges, but I don't really, well, I don't, well, I'll get a couple of oranges because no pear, no apple, just a banana. I have two left hanging in a chandelier. O lustre in Portuguese, which is actually a lustre in French. I think it's actually from the French that they're using it. I think a lustre is a French word that the Portuguese use, which is funny. Candelabra? I don't know if that's what they call it in Spanish. I'm not sure. But same meaning, basically. So, yeah, I don't need too much. The lentil stuff is going to last. I think I have one or two bowls of those left in the freezer. So I will definitely pull them out and use them if I need to. But I don't see... I won't be needing to make anything until at least Monday, as far as lentils are concerned. Maybe make rice pudding today. Oof. Oh, that would mean getting some oranges. Okay. So on the way up, I might stop and get maybe like 8 or so oranges, maybe a dozen. I'll have the room for them, and then so I can... She has a very good juicer. I think it's called an exprimidor. Exprimir is to juice. Anyway, I think it's called an exprimidor. Exprimidor. I think it's exprimidor. I'll ask Paco. She has a very, very... I think it's called tornado. It's a very nice one. Very, very nice. So it's not like a juicer, you know, where you put the stuff, because I'm actually not a proponent of juicer. I used to have one. The only two things that I found useful was to get ginger juice that I would put in ice cube tray and freeze and use as I needed, and then lemon juice, or, well, actually even orange juice for that matter. So... But yeah, I want the fiber. So for me personally, it makes a juicer makes no sense. You know, unless somebody has some kind of SIBO, yeah? that's a small intestine overgrowth, bacterial overgrowth. So if you have that, sometimes fiber is a problem. So that could be a way to bypass that, I guess. But then again, you know, when you have juices of fruit, then your glycemic index goes higher up because you get rid of the fiber. So for that reason, it's better that I see quite a bit walking to, just talking to local, but anyway. Okay, I do the same way zigzag. Where people are, I'll switch side of the street, you know. No, I'm not angry or anything. I just, I like my space. You know, like I say, I'm really going to own my neurosis, as Ram Dass called them. You know, not a big deal. You know, and you trying to ignore it, it's kind of like people repressing something and then it comes back with a vengeance. So I don't believe in repression. I don't believe in ignoring. I believe in being honest, being tolerant, you know, looking for opportunity, and being flexible, and being patient. You know, there's no, there's no rush. So my friends, we have to come here. Well, that was a good podcast. I didn't have my podcast alone. I'm really enjoying spending time. Anyway, peace and love.